All right, let's take our course books this morning. Let's turn to number 3. Do you wonder why it is I love him?
Oh, home. Still having trouble with some vomiting at times, but she's getting better. So my mom's there to help them out, take care of her and her dad. So she'll be there probably another week, two and a half weeks or so. Yeah.
Okay. The other part that we got is she struggles to eat very much, and so she eats constantly throughout the day. You know, probably every hour or so she's eating something else. Mm-hmm. And struggling to eat much. I think part of the reason that Donna went down is her dad's not much of a cook. And so he needs the help just as much as her mother does. So
maybe a bowl of cereal.
Yeah.
Yes. Probably about all. Yes, go ahead.
Monday, cardiologist appointment.
That's right. Okay, I forgot about that part. So continue to pray for her. As all of you heard, she had the issues with her heart, and they had to put stents in to deal with the blockages, and so she's still trying to deal with the after effects of that, so just pray for her. Okay, let's go to prayer then. Father, we thank you for a good day. We're thankful for each one who's able to attend today. We pray that you would give safety and travel to all as they travel around. We thank you for the opportunity to be in your house. We pray that you would be with Brother Mark as he teaches and preaches the word today, that you would guide and direct him and give him what we need to hear. We pray also for the time in the morning service when we observe our Lord's table. We thank you for all that the Lord Jesus has done for each one of us. Thank you that he did not have to come, but he did in fulfillment of the Father's will, and then also because of his great love for each one of us, even while we were his enemies. We do pray that you would speak to our hearts through your word today. Be with Donna and her parents down there in Florida. Pray particularly for her mother, who is struggling right now with the heart difficulties and all the after effects there. Pray that you would encourage her heart, strengthen her at this time, and help the doctors to have the wisdom to know what to do. And we pray for the appointment tomorrow that it would be a good report. She would slowly get better. And we thank you for all you do for us in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay. Don't have any special announcements for this service. Let's get back to singing. Let's turn the page and we'll go to number 78, Victory in Jesus.
Oh,
here that are favorites of Lydia over here.
Amen.
So we're going to sing 153, Deep and Wide.
Gentiles got grafted in because they rejected him.
We can be thankful that God allowed that. Okay, Brother Mark.
Good morning. Please turn with me, if you would, in your Bibles to Proverbs chapter 3. Yes. It's good to be with you after such an extended absence of 7 days. There, it has been quite the week for us. For those of you not on social media, we learned on Thursday that there will be another child coming in September. Many people have thought we were keeping a secret. We let it out Friday. We found out Thursday, so it's not been a secret for very long. So we will be expecting a child, Lord willing, in September sometime. Proverbs chapter 3, last week we looked at the first four verses. What I'd like to do is read a portion of Proverbs chapter 3, and then we'll go back, review the first four verses, and then we're going to deal with verses 5 and 6. If you've had any exposure to Christianity, if you've ever been in Sunday school for any length of time, you know Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, or at least very familiar with what they teach. So I doubt anything that I say today will come as stark new revelation. That's a good thing. But what we'll try to do is we'll try to refresh your memories. And I find that sometimes going over older, more familiar passages can be refreshing when you stop, step back for a second, and think about it. Sometimes we become familiar with a passage that we don't stop to think about what it truly means or what it truly says. And that can be sad. So what we're going to do is we're going to read the first 11 verses. We'll go back and review the first four and then launch into verses 5 and 6. The Bible says, "My son, forget not my law, but let thine heart keep my commandments. For length of days and long life and peace shall they add to thee. Let not mercy and truth forsake thee. Bind them about thy neck. Write them upon the table of thine heart. So shalt thou find favor and good understanding in the sight of God and man. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. Be not wise in thine own eyes. Fear the Lord, and depart from evil. It shall be health to thy navel, and marrow to thy bones. Honor the Lord with thy substance, and with the first fruits of all thine increase. So shall thy barns be filled with plenty, and thy press shall burst out with new wine. My son, despise not the chastening of the Lord, neither be weary of his correction." Now, the first four verses that we looked at last week, verse number 1, says, "My son, forget not my law, but let thine heart keep my commandments." We talked about the instruction of Solomon as he spoke to his son, and because it's inspired scripture, we have the benefit of looking at it as well. We saw the difference between forgetting the law of the Lord and keeping commandments with our hearts. The heart's where the emotion is, and you're going to see that here again in a minute, but that's where the heart has the emotion, the will. It's the difference between head knowledge and what you have in your heart. Sometimes people have said you can miss heaven by 18 inches. Have a head knowledge, but not a heart understanding. It's a little cliche, but you understand the point behind it, I hope. So we saw that difference in verse number 1. Verse number 2, "For length of days and long life and peace shall they add to thee." Proverbs is full of promises, but many of them are conditional. If you do this, then you'll have that. And we've talked about how in our culture, we want the results, but we don't want what causes it or what it takes to get the result or the promise. And that's what we see here is length of days, long life, and peace. Those that are constantly contentious, those who live with drama, those who produce drama consistently should go back to verse number 1. Not forgetting the law of the Lord, keeping the commandments with the heart. Verse number 3, "Let not mercy and truth forsake thee. Bind them about thy neck, write them upon the table of thine heart." The wise man is going to stick with mercy and truth. We talked about that, mercy and truth. While God is a God of justice, he is a merciful God. But God is also a God of truth. And when you experience someone who's not truthful, or something that is not truthful, you know it's not of God. Bible talks about that. Sanctify them through thy word. Thy word is truth, right? And so if you encounter someone that's lying or dishonest, you can just chalk it up. It's not of God, all right? So just keep that in the back of your mind. But the Bible also tells them to bind them about thy neck. And we talked about the phylacteries and other ways in which the Jewish people would keep scriptures close to them, either on their arm, forehead, sometimes would bind them about their neck, doorposts, that sort of thing. Verse number 4, so shalt thou find favor and good understanding in the sight of God and man. Many people want good favor in the eyes of man. But in practice, they don't care about the favor of God. Now, I may be cold, I may be too analytical, but I'd rather pay attention to what people do instead of what they say. In the nature of my ministry, I have the opportunity to visit and correspond with a lot of prisoners. Prisoners are experts at promising things with their lips, but not always do they. Brother Koval's nodding his head, Mrs. Koval as well. But they're not always intending on following through with their heart. And I will tell them something. When you get out, I want you to do this. When we leave this visit, whatever the case may be, I want you to read this passage or that. And every time they will say, I'll do it. And the first time they ever do that, I always look them in the eye or write them, depending on the correspondence, and say, don't lie to me. I'd rather you not say anything at all, or say, I intend to, or I hope to, or even say, I'm not going to do it, but don't lie to me. Because if we don't have a relationship based on truth, we don't have a relationship. Scripture talks about truth, all right? We're to keep it close to us. We're not to forsake it. Verse number 5, here's where we pick up some new material today. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not unto thine own understanding. This week was a fairly quiet week in the office. And as I sat down and looked at these verses and I read some commentaries on them, and I sat and as is my custom, listened to them and read through these two verses repeatedly. It's difficult, as I mentioned earlier, when it's a verse or verses you're very familiar with, to not just skip on through. But I drew some thoughts out of these verses. In the first half of the verse, there are a few points here I want to make. Number one, the Bible tells us to trust. It's very easy in our lives to become cynical, right? If I were to ask each of you, we're adults in here. If I were to, I'm not going to, but if I were to ask you to raise your hand, if you've ever been burnt, every single one of you that's not been hiding under a rock would raise your hand, right? Every single one of you, if I said one person, people, family, friends, neighbors, coworkers, maybe even fellow Christians, has ever gone back on a promise or stabbed you in the back, or hurt you in some particular way, every single one of you, unless you've been hiding under a rock, would raise your hand. The temptation for us in being cynical is to say, I don't trust anyone. Have you ever heard someone say that? And in fact, it almost becomes a badge of courage, a virtue. I don't trust anyone. Well, in actuality, unless you legitimately live as a hermit, you do trust people. I trusted a whole ton of people here today on my way over that they would stay in their lane or not decide to change directions. There are a whole lot of things that I trusted the other drivers to do. Some of them will let you down, right? I was talking to Brother Jim on the way up. You know, I have this habit. Because I travel so much, I use cruise control religiously. I get on the interstate, I put my cruise control at or one or two above the speed limit because my speedometer's not very on the mark. And then I go to my happy place. I daydream or I think about my sermon or whatever the case may be. And I seldom pass anyone because everyone has decided they're not going to do what they're supposed to do. But the Bible says trust. But it doesn't stop there. The Bible says we're to trust in the Lord. Now, this tells me three specific things. Number one, we're to trust him and not place our trust in others. Sometimes we get the notion that we can trust our family the same way we trust God. Don't. Even if you come from a Christian family, trust the Lord. And do you remember what verse we talked at in chapter 2? Discretion shall preserve thee. Trust in the Lord. Don't place that level of trust that you would give to the Lord in anyone else. Now, does that mean that you don't trust anyone around you? No, not at all. But there's to be a level of trust that we give God that no one else is to have. Secondly, the word the Lord. There are many people that have various lords in their life, various things that have higher precedent. It might be their career. It might be their income, their family. It might be their hobbies. I had to stop at Wawa to get gas today. Guess what? I saw a lot of people whose lords are going to play at four something today. The Eagles, right? There are a whole lot of people whose lords were playing yesterday. We're not to put our trust in there. There are a whole lot of people in New England whose trust relied on the Patriots, and thank the Lord they got let down. In case you don't know, the Titans won. There, that's my bias moment for the day. But the Lord, trust in the Lord. Don't allow anything else to achieve the same level. Put our trust in him. Don't allow anything else to get to that level. We're to trust in him, point number C. We're to trust in him with all our heart. There aren't to be reservations. There aren't to be concerns. There aren't to be secret things that we don't trust him with. Good friend of mine, Randy King, Dr. Randy King from Oshkosh, Wisconsin, pastored for many years, now travels speaking in missions conferences and on the topic of missions all across the country and in many places in the world. He has this quote, and it's very, very powerful. But he'll say this, if I can trust or believe God to save my never dying soul, why can't I trust him with my health, my family, whatever the case may be? And I've thought about that. Whenever I get tense or worried about something, I think, if I can trust God to save my never dying soul, why can't I trust him with this? And when someone can't trust God, it genuinely makes me wonder, are they truly saved? Now, it's not for me to say whether they are or not. I understand that. But if someone can't trust God for sometimes even the simplest things, it causes me to question, did they ever trust God to save their never dying soul? Causes you to think, doesn't it? Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Turn with me, if you would, to Mark chapter 9. I'm going to look at a short story here. Mark chapter 9. I was teasing Jason about his age. He's 2 and a fraction years older than I am. Asked him if when you turn 40, you lose your voice, and now my mouth's gone dry, so shouldn't have done that. Mark chapter 9, we're going to look at verses 17 through 24. The Bible says, and one of the multitudes answered and said, Master, I have brought unto thee my son, which hath a dumb spirit. And wheresoever he taketh him, and teareth him, and he foameth, and gnasheth with his teeth, and pineth away. And I spake to thy disciples that they should cast him out, and they could not. He answereth him and saith, O faithless generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I suffer you? Bring him unto me. Now, let me pause here for a second. I understand the sentiment behind the WWJD. What would Jesus do? Right? But if we're really going to do what Jesus would do, keep in mind that his statement here is also an option. Now, Jesus didn't always speak kindly to everyone. The Jesus of the Bible sometimes spoke strongly and dealt strongly with people. The world and some of the liberal denominations have portrayed Jesus as being a soft-spoken, effeminate-looking, effeminate-acting man.
That's right.
That's not the Jesus of the Bible. He spoke to this man and said, O faithless generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I suffer you? I'm not saying go do that to every single person you come across, But just remember what the Jesus of the Bible said, what he did, okay? So let's get an accurate picture of who he is. He answered them, and they brought him unto him, and when he saw him, straightway the spirit tear him, and he fell on the ground and wallowed foaming. And he asked his father, how long is it ago since this came into him? And he said, of a child. Picture for a moment what that father was going through. When my child has a cough or is sick, it hurts. I don't have a mother's heart, but it affects me. When they're going through something, some difficulty, you want to take that away from them if you can. Sometimes it's growing pains, they have to go through it on their own. But can you imagine going through this with your child from a young child and all that they went through? He says, and oft times it hath cast him into the fire and into the waters to destroy him, but if thou canst do anything, have compassion on us and help us. Jesus said unto him, if thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believeth. And straightway the father child cried out and said with tears, Lord, I believe. Help thou mine unbelief. I believe every Christian could say that. Because I don't believe on this side of heaven anyone ever fully achieves the level of faith and belief that they should. That's not talking about salvation. Salvation is not a process that you grow into. That's talking about our spiritual walk. Lord, I believe, help thou mine unbelief. Proverbs 3 tells us to trust in the Lord with all our heart. Turn over to Romans chapter 14 with me, if you would. Romans chapter 14, going to look at verse number 23. The Bible says, and he that doubteth is damned if he eat, because he eateth not of faith. For whatsoever is not of faith is sin. Very powerful statement. Do our lives show faith? Do we truly live lives full of faith in what God can do for us? Because what God can do for us is unlimited. But you know what? Sometimes we put limits on God. I've heard this and I've been guilty of this. When you're praying, Lord, if it be thy will, sometimes it's very clear that it's his will. When I'm praying for lost people, Lord, if it be your will, work in that person's life. He's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. It is his will. But you know what? We tend to add phrases and cliches to kind of make ourselves feel better. If it be thy will. Sometimes we know. I've had people say this, you know, if it's the Lord's will, I'll join this church, or I'll go to church on Sunday, or I'll quit this sin, or it's his will. Quit adding this cliche. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. All right, back to Proverbs chapter 3. Second half of that verse. And lean not unto thine own understanding. I'm not an expert, but our minds are so limited. It's difficult for us to understand the things of God. That's why we need the Holy Spirit. That's why we have the Holy Spirit inside of us as believers guiding us. That's why the things of the people of the world don't understand the things of God, because they don't have the Holy Spirit guiding them. Sin has so constricted our understanding of the things of God that our understanding can't fathom. Now, let me tell you a little illustration here. Last week, Sunday morning service, I spoke about where there is no vision, the people perish. I don't think I've ever told you about this before. If I have, forgive me. The church that I come from and grew up in is a very missions-minded church. For years, since the inception of the church, 42 years ago, we're 1 year younger than this church here, we've had Faith Promise mission support, okay? Now, for years, that number started off low and gradually grew. Eventually, somewhere probably 15, 18 years ago, as a church, right around when I became an adult, the church started to grow by faith. Now, the attendance of our church is a little bit less than yours, and we have about 15 people that are school age and younger. So we have a lot less adults than you do. The reason I spoke on that last year was I want 2020 to be a year that you guys step out and start to do things maybe that you've not been comfortable with in the aspect of reaching the world around you and the world abroad. The faith promise for our church in 2019, keep in mind we're a blue-collar congregation. We do not have money people, was $180,000. We met it on the last Sunday, the 29th of December. I'm not saying that to brag. What I'm saying is that by faith, the church grew. And faith is like a muscle. When you exercise it, it grows. I was traveling in Georgia in the month of November, and one of the pastors I was speaking to was talking about trying to get missions giving up in his church. And his church supports my siblings in Brazil. And he said, your church gives a lot to missions, right? And I told him the same thing that I just told you. His church is larger than ours, probably has about 20 people, about 10, 15 more members than we do. We have 20 members at the time. And he said, how is that possible? Now, the context that I'm speaking of is lean not unto thine own understanding. My reaction without thinking was, it's not possible. That's what I said. He said, how is that possible? I said, it's not. But with God, all things are possible. I don't understand it. But that's encouraging to me. My grandfather, John Reno, who was influential in Ohio and upstate New York, said that when a church begins to be understood by the world, it ceases to become a church. The church, by definition, should be an enigma, something that the world doesn't fully understand. Why? We're to trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not. The temptation is to fall back on what we do understand. Peter stepped out of the boat by faith, didn't he? He did something no one else in here has ever done. And then he did something that we all have done. Sank in water. Right? Why? Because he looked at the storm. Do you ever stop and think about Peter's occupation? What was he? Who understood the water more than a fisherman on the Sea of Galilee? He understood what those waves meant. You ever been around a man who lives on the water? They understand. I've been with a few who've been on boats quite a bit, never been with a full-time fisherman very, very much. But I've been with men who've been on boats, yachts, etc., quite a bit. And they understand the water. They can look at the water and the weather, and they know what's coming. Peter knew what those waves meant. But he took his eyes off the Lord, and he leaned on his own understanding. And leaned himself right into sinking in the water, didn't he? Our temptation. I know this is hard. I know this is difficult. I struggle with it too. But we can't lean on our own understanding. Because we have to understand whatsoever is not of faith is sin. All right. Next verse. We'll move quickly. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy path. The result of trusting the Lord with all your heart is that you won't lean on your own understanding, but we are to acknowledge him in all of our ways. I was preaching at a church in Georgia, and it was a camp meeting style of service, and I was, I think, the first preacher in the morning. The one who got it behind me was a Calvinist and started talking about limited atonement. And killed the spirit of the meeting, but he wasn't the last speaker before lunch. And what happened was the second speaker was actually trying to refute everything I had just said. That's always fun. The third speaker gets up. We're in Georgia. He's from Alabama. Georgians and Alabamas have a little bit of rivalry going. If you don't understand college football, they do. And he gets up and he says this. He says, I'm not smart. I'm from Alabama. But one thing I do know, all means all. So I can appreciate that. Basically, he just told the second speaker, you're wrong, be quiet. Right. I can live with that. Thank you very much. But in all thy ways acknowledge him. The word acknowledge means to recognize the existence or truth of something and submit to the authority of it. In all thy ways acknowledge him. Now think about it for a second. Many of us are married or have been married. Can you imagine if most aspects of my life I lived as a married man? But not all of them? How would that formulate your opinion of me? Do you understand what I'm saying? What if we lived our lives as law-abiding citizens in many aspects? I'm a bank robber, but hey, I don't kill people. I don't sexually assault them. I don't drive drunk, but I'm a bank robber. Most of my ways, I'm a pretty good guy. What's that still make me? A criminal, a bank robber, right? Bible tells us, in all thy ways acknowledge him. Everything. There to be no secret rooms. Last month, my wife and I hosted an open house at our place. And we have simple rules. When company comes over, they are welcome to go throughout the whole house except our room. Firearm owner, don't go in my room. Okay? And everyone knows that. There's kids' bedrooms. There's a dining room, living room, kitchen, open area, downstairs basement. Downstairs, Stephen has his room. You're welcome to go through that whole area. But there's one place you're not allowed to go. It's my bedroom. Okay? Do you understand? It's not entirely an open house, is it? But I'm okay with that. I'm going to still call it an open house. How many people have open houses for God? God, you're welcome in this bedroom, you're welcome in this living room, dining room, kitchen. It's fine here, the bathrooms, enjoy that part. There's downstairs, you can enjoy the kids' bedrooms, fine, but you can't get in this part. Doesn't work, because the Bible says, in all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. If you want the leading of God in your life, if you truly expect him to lead your paths, he has to have access to all your ways. You have to acknowledge him in all your ways. We get this idea that we can segment part of our life, part of our mind, and set it over here and say, God, this is off limits. But the rest of it, you're welcome to. You're welcome to my work life. You're welcome to my personal life, but not my family life, my friend life, whatever the case may be. It doesn't work that way. Like the guy from Alabama said, all means all. If we're going to have ways in our life where we don't acknowledge him, he's not going to direct our paths. And sometimes I hear people say, I wish I just had some leading from the Lord. Go back to the first part of Proverbs 3, verse 6. I'm not going to indict you, but I suspect there may be some ways that you don't acknowledge him. Also, people won't directly say this, but they'll follow a path in their life and they'll say, you know, I thought the Lord was leading me here, when clearly, scripturally speaking, God wasn't leading you there. Guess what? First part of Proverbs chapter 3, verse 6. You weren't acknowledging him in all your ways, because he will not lead you astray.
That's right.
There will be times I do. There will be times your friends, your brothers and sisters in Christ do. Maybe not because they mean to, but they're not perfect. We are not perfect, but he is. And when we acknowledge him in all of our ways, he will direct our paths. Somebody said, and I don't know if it was Brother Sam or someone, but when I came in this morning, I was talking to them. I think it was Brother Sam. Said, did you need your GPS to get here? Was making a joke, considering I was here last week. No, but do you know, even if I know where I'm going, there's an app on my phone. It's the Waze app. You know what the Waze app is? It's a GPS system, but it also tells you if there's been an issue with construction or an accident. And it'll warn you. You may need to go around. I remember one time this fall, they were working out here on I-78. And they were putting up those New Jersey barriers. And I found out about it as I was coming in on a Saturday. And so I go to Jason and say, hey, they're setting them up the other way. And Jason said, here's what you need to do to avoid it. And I think you sent me on Old 22 or something like that. And I went right around it. And there were people lined up for miles. Guess what? They hadn't turned on the Waze app, or they hadn't talked to Jason Waze. All right? Even though I know the way from Greencastle, Pennsylvania to Bethlehem to Caddy, I know it really well. I still trust in that often. Why? Because it knows something I don't. When we think we know what we're doing, we get in a lot of trouble, don't we? We need to acknowledge him in all of our paths, all of our ways, and he will direct us. If we don't have the second half of the verse, we need to look at ourselves in the first half of the verse, don't we? Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. Heavenly Father, Lord, we love you. Thank you for these dear folk. Please bless in the morning service as it quickly approaches. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.